And we have one of the very talented, one of the many very talented people who took part in that concert last night. And of course, I'm talking about Lindsay McIndoe, who is right here in the studio right now. She's also going to be playing Saturday night for Unplugged. Last night was Mountain Stage being recorded. Two episodes, I think you said they were 750 and 751, Ann?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, yeah, Larry Gross was telling me a couple weeks ago that, I mean, he's never missed. He's done every single one of those shows.
Isn't that something?
That's amazing.
Oh. Yeah, he's quite a guy and very entertaining. And I tell you, when I wasn't enjoying the music, I was laughing because those guys, there was a lot of humor last night. Lindsay,
absolutely.
Welcome back to our studio. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Buck. I'm happy to be here, and Ann as well. Excited
to hear.
You know, I'm just going to briefly mention this, but with people like Michael Johnson and Ms. Wheeler,
Cheryl.
Cheryl. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in the humor department.
Yeah.
were you anticipating that type of a show?
Well, a little bit, and actually, when I play a show with my band, it's often quite funny because my band is hilarious. But
okay.
We all knew that we were no match for the humor on stage last night. So everyone just kept to the music and did their thing. Yeah, those guys are beyond, you know, obviously masters at their songs, but also mm-hmm. just, you know, so great at getting the audience warmed up and mm-hmm. and into what they're doing. It's awesome.
Yeah, you know that Michael Johnson at one time lived with Steve Martin.
Oh, really?
And he was actually going to be a comedian.
That's really?
Crazy. Yeah, he was leaning towards being a comedian. I forgot the other fellow who lived with him too was also a comedian in L.A. And yeah. That had to be a crazy, crazy household.
Oh, absolutely.
We've talked about it on air before. Crazy, crazy, that's for sure. Lindsay, you sounded just great last night, and I hadn't heard you for a little while since the last time you were here for Unplugged. And one thing I really noticed is how confident you are as a stage presence now. You know, from being a little more shy in the past to really taking charge out there, it was really nice to see.
Oh, great, Buck. Thanks.
Yeah, you look so comfortable out there. And also playing some of the songs that we've heard in the past, Cry, Cry, Cry.
Yep.
I remember when that first came out, how surprised you were that that was one of the hit songs in that album. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a song with, on the technical level, it is in three different time signatures and kind of in three different keys, which is like really bizarre. And so I thought, oh, this is a little bit obtuse and people will just think it's an album cut and not, you know, a single. And it ended up being one of the top two songs on that album. And I guess it, you know, I was just lucky the way that those sections bled into each other. It seemed pretty natural, although if you looked at it on paper, it seemed a little bit odd. And I think, you know, it's always about the chorus, right? And the chorus is really simple mm-hmm. and catchy, so that always works in your favor.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in your songs, a lot more than most songs. And you just mentioned how technical that song was.
Yeah.
And as I listened to, starting with playing the cello like you do, is not something that you're going to see anybody else doing.
Right.
A lot of that has to come from your technical training.
Absolutely. I think, I'm classically trained on the cello. Obviously, there's not a lot of plucked cello lessons out there these days. Mm-hmm. And I took class, I started with classical piano when I was in third grade, I guess, and then started with cello in fourth grade in public school. They came around and showed us all the string instruments and asked us to pick one, and
you picked that one, the big one.
I did. Well, honestly, this is a little bit ridiculous, but all my friends were picking the violin, and I actually felt really sorry for the cello, as if it had feelings. there we knew I was going to be a songwriter, right? So I picked the cello, and it was actually a very good call on my part because that meant I got a ride to school opposed to having to walk to school. Thinking ahead there. So then I just played very intensely, actually, classical music for a long time. I went to a couple of conservatories for a semester or two each. I went to a regular, you know, liberal arts school, not a music school, but I took sabbaticals or whatever you want to call it from there to go to these conservatories because I really wanted to get as good as I could because I thought that's maybe what I was going to be doing, a symphonic player or a quartet player or something like that. And so then I eventually graduated from the liberal arts school and I realized I had no desire to do the classical world. And not because I didn't love classical music, but it's so highly specialized. I mean, you're generally playing pieces that were written several hundred years ago that, you know, 40 or 50 people for sure are always going to play better than you are. So it's kind of like, what's the point?
Maybe.
So yeah, then I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston, which is more of a jazz and pop school, and learned all about different parts of music that I never knew about, like chord progressions and how to maybe write a song, or you know, chord scales if you're a jazz player, which I was never very good at. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's that.
And a lot of that training shows in songs, like we were just talking about, Cry, 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 and how complex that is. And it keeps people alert, but also there's a lot of emotion in your songs.
You know,
these are well thought out, well, you really got to listen.
Yeah, it's hard to do these days when you're bombarded with so many things to pay attention to. But I guess that, for me, that would be the ultimate challenge, is to make something that's like a sugar pill, like you just want to have on in the background because it makes you feel good even if you're not thinking about it. And then if you take the time to dig a little deeper and listen harder, that it actually pays off in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's plenty of songs that do one of those two things, but not both. Mm-hmm. And so that's the challenge for me, at least.
To have it work at both levels that way.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a musician on this show a few weeks ago, and I'd heard Matthew Brown play a Louis Armstrong song in the morning. And Louis maybe doesn't have the greatest voice, you know, but there's something about the way he sings it and the emotion involved that carries it no matter what.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole secret behind music is the emotional aspect of how you grab people.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, people listen to music because they want to feel something.
Mm-hmm.
And so the better conduit you can be, the better, you know, you're going to be, hopefully.
Yeah, better the song comes out and the more people enjoy it. And,
yeah.
And I know at the concert last night, you had the people right there. So that was just great to listen to.
Yeah, that was nice.
Now, you didn't bring your cello in tonight. Because you've expanded into some guitar music as well.
I have, yeah. There's a lot of reasons I'm playing a little less cello, and maybe we want to talk about that later, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm branching out a little bit. My new album doesn't have very much cello on it at all, in fact. It has a lot of things, including this instrument here, which is a tenor guitar, which is a four-string guitar, and the cello is also four strings.
Oh, really?
So I'm kind of cheating because I think six strings is overwhelming.
Yeah.
I can't handle it.
You didn't have to make that big an adjustment.
Right. And I would never, you know, at this point in my musical career, I would never catch up to the good guitar players out there. So, yeah, this guy has the same sort of chord patterns as the cello would if I tuned it the same way as the cello, and it generally is tuned the same way as the cello, actually, in fifths. But it's also small. I have extremely small hands. It just popped out at me. A little store in Rochester, New York. I saw it online, and I had to have it.
Lindsay, that's interesting, because I was looking at it before you started talking about it, thinking, geez, the neck of that guitar is skinny, and where are the rest of the strings?
They're on the backside, Ann.
I couldn't afford the two extra strings, so it was on sale.
Lindsay, maybe you could introduce in a song. We'd love to hear one.
Sure. Well, this is a little bit of a crazy one. I played this last night. This is a song about two famous dolls, Raggedy Ann and Rainbow Bright. And how that came to mind, I'm not quite sure, but once I thought of them, I thought, well, we've got to make it a little bit less rated G and maybe PG-13, which is where I like to roll. And so I thought about them as exotic dancers. And the song opens with them backstage.
Raggedy Ann sat with rainbow bright to pick out what to wear onto the stage that night. Legs dangling from director's chairs as they prepared in the heat of makeup lights. Raggedy said, well, I'm sure you'll be the one who's chosen. You're so, so super fun, and your yarn hair is soft and gold, and it used to be me, but now, well, can't you see? I couldn't be the one they wanted me to be, 'cause they're just so sad and lonely, and they think that just if only I could be less serene and a little more upbeat, they would hold me forever, they would hold of me. Then when Rainbow's chance came to perform, she swept aside the curtain and leapt out all alone. The track, it was really bumping, the kick drum did its thumping, the crowd was on fire. But backstage Anne could hear the room go quiet and audible gasping. There she cringed in fear. The people, they were booing and laughing. Rainbow ran off stage, her plastic face wet with tears. She said, I couldn't be the one they wanted me to be, 'cause they're just so sad and lonely, and they think that just if only I could be more serene, the best of May, the best of May, the best of May, the best of May.
Lindsay Mack, that was a fun one.
That's really fun. I have to say, I've been following your music for, I don't know, I guess 7 years now, and I love your lyrics. They are just so quirky.
Weird.
And that's interesting.
What you wanted to say, weird.
No, no, just quirky. Kidding. Good.
Quirky, yeah.
But they take you where you want to go.
Oh, totally. You know? But they're really fun. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much the opposite of a run of the mill lyric.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, thank you.
Yeah, she's unique, is what that is. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have her in the studio. I was curious as I was listening to that about your voice. You know, you were classically trained in the cello, as we talked about. But how about voice lessons? Have you just went for it?
I just went for it. You know, sometimes that's probably to my detriment, and sometimes I think it's an advantage in the sense of with cello. You know, the training was amazing, and of course I learned technical things that I needed to know. But you also just really analyze and are worried about perfection a mm-hmm. lot. And in the classical world, you know, you maybe need a little bit more of that. Certainly not as much as what you get, because I think a lot of people in the classical world are really pretty, you know, worried about messing up. But when you start to write songs, actually, that becomes really hard because you're thinking too much about, well, is it okay to go to that chord? Because technically, you're not really supposed to go to that chord. And you know, but mm-hmm. songs don't work that way.
Yeah.
And so that was a real struggle for me when I started writing songs. And I almost intentionally didn't take voice lessons because I didn't want to think about it. You know, obviously I could certainly benefit from some instruction and it's something I might do, in the future now that I sort of have a handle on my new identity as a songwriter, as opposed to a classical person. But in the beginning, it was just great to just go with what felt right. Yeah, and I just like singing, so that's always fun too.
Yeah, I didn't mean that in any critical way.
I didn't think so.
You know how you became that good with your voice when all I've heard about is the cello part.
Yeah, right.
You know, so yeah. Do you have to? You play a lot when your band is on the road. You're busy.
Yeah.
Do you have to do anything to protect your voice to make sure that?
Obviously, I don't smoke and stuff like that. I actually, again, maybe I'm on the extreme, but I think the more people think about their voices and get particular about them, the more sort of psychosomatic stuff starts happening. I know a lot of singers who have to have tea with honey before every show and special sprays and all this. And, you know, I guess if that works, that's great. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm worried about thinking about it because I think I'll make something up. Yeah. Just
get there and let go.
I also think maybe that's something that's cool about live music is that assuming you can sing in tune and you can sing without pain and not damage your voice, mm-hmm. having your voice sound slightly different every night is kind of cool. It certainly sounds different because of the room and how they mic it and everything anyway. So mm-hmm. yeah, I try and be as organic about it as possible. And maybe, you know, 20 years down the road, that won't work anymore, but it does right now.
One time, it was about a year ago, we had Chastity Brown in here, and she'd been on several times, and she said, you know, I've reached a point where I kind of had all of a sudden something just dawned on me that I should change, and she said, I'm just letting my voice go now.
Cool.
I'm not thinking about it anymore. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I should be honest in that I'm thinking about it all the time, like, you know. But it's less about trying to make it sound better as opposed to trying to be looser.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think something that comes out effortlessly, effortlessly is a misnomer 'cause it's actually very effortful not to put effort in, if that makes any sense.
It's hard work to make it easy.
Yeah, there you go. The easiest things are often the simplest things are often the hardest things.
So. Yeah, to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when they tell me to relax when I'm getting a massage or something. Or whatever, you know. I thought I was.
Right.
Anyway, you've got another tune.
Yeah, let me just tune this string really quick.
Sure. Lindsay Mack, if you're just tuning in, and she's tuning in right now, too. She's playing tomorrow night down at North House Folk School again for Unplugged.
Yep.
And she played last night.
Mountain Stage.
For Mountain Stage, yeah. And a fabulous show down at the North House Folk School. Really happy to have her here, as we are all the musicians who showed up and are giving their time. And I want to mention, too, that they're giving their time freely. As Lindsay is, you know, nobody's getting paid down there. It's for North House Folk School, and we sure appreciate the effort. You've got another song. Maybe you can introduce it in, Lindsay.
Sure. This is a song, sort of the concept of it came to mind in thinking about if you're a journalist. I know that there's those, at least I've always called them the 5 W's, who, what, when, where, and why. Oh. And, you know, how when you're conveying something to a readership or a listenership, those are the 5 things you need to include. And so I took that concept and sort of applied it maybe to a relationship or a past relationship and came up with a song called 5 W's.
Lindsay Mack. Thank you.
you've been gone, I can lie in this bed with my head to the right, my feet to the left, like a big slash running over the mattress, running over my heart, running over my breast. La 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 la. Singing in your shower, I wonder what you see when your coffee gets its cream, and I wonder where you'll be when you hear this melody, and I know I shouldn't try to think of who, what, when, where. Why? When you came home, I would hold you so tight and try and fill up your cup with all of my might. Never did you say there were cracks all about, and whatever I poured in would come leaking out. La 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 la. And I wonder who you are when you're singing in your shower. I wonder what you see. Coffee gets its cream, and I wonder where you'll be when you hear this melody. And I know I shouldn't try to think of who, what, when, where. Why?
Wow, hi Ann, how you doing?
Fine.
Beautiful song.
Really beautiful.
Yeah. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you.
We're talking with Lindsay Mack, and you have a new CD you're coming out with.
Yeah.
And I know you're still working on it. Any idea when?
Well, I would say 80% of it is recorded and just ready to get mixed. Mm-hmm. There's a couple songs that are pretty hard fought, and we're probably just going to redo them.
Okay. Between you and the band, or you and your own
My producer and I. Okay. We actually, because my band lives in L.A., actually, and I live in Boston, so mm-hmm. they came out at the very beginning of the process and put down some tracks for half of the songs, I would say. And then after that, we've actually used a lot of different technology and different things, and it's a much more pop record. So, it's going to be interesting. I'm excited about it. There's not really any cello on it, not because I don't like cello, but because I actually had some back problems associated with the cello. And, needed to... Mm-hmm. change
let that go for a while.
I love it and I'll be back for sure, but mm-hmm. just did that.
Your current album, the one that's out there right now, Stop Thinking, is available, of course, just about anywhere, but you also have a website people can take a look at.
Yeah, it's just lindsaymack.com. Mm-hmm. Lindsay with an A-M-A-C, and I actually use my Facebook a little bit more to update people, because okay. I guess that's the rage, even though I'm not mm-hmm. really into it myself.
Yeah.
Business-wise, that's kind of what you do.
So people can go there as well?
Yeah.
Now, just for people's information, to Stop Thinking, it's been a great CD for you, very successful. I know it was like number 2 in 2009 out in Boston.
Yeah.
And
lucky for that.
And a number of songs there that are one of my favorites, several of my favorites on there. One that you played last night that we won't be listening to today because you're not with your cello, and that's Seven Little Stones.
Yeah.
Which you kind of dedicated to this area as your place to, as you said, reset.
Yeah, the reset button.
Maybe you can tell folks just briefly what you mean by that, because a lot of folks out there weren't there last night.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll probably play it on Saturday, and I know mm-hmm. it's sold out, but if you just want to try and peek your head in the tent, you should try and do that. It's just I love it up here. It's besides the fact that I'm a city dweller and, you know, I'm probably getting black lungs every day, and the air here, it just feels good. It's invigorating. There's also the community, obviously, which is really special, and I have to say, thank God that it's so hard to get here, because otherwise this place would be really different. I was worried about Mountain Stage. I kind of don't want them to tell anyone where it is. I'm afraid it'll be a mass migration to Grand Marais. But it's just a great place for me. The water is like, you know, I think it's really important for me, at least, to be around things that are much bigger than oneself. Mm-hmm. And to me, those things are mountains and big bodies of water. It's just really nice to remember how incredibly small you are.
Where you are in
the world. Exactly. That's what I think when I look up at the stars. It's so soothing to be so little.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because then that stress can lift off your shoulders, because it really doesn't matter what you do anyway.
The big picture.
Yeah.
And I think one other thing you mentioned last night was that it's great to be in a place where there's no cell service, because you find you have a lot more time.
Yeah, exactly.
Explains a lot. Well, do you have one more that you can play for us?
Sure. Do we have some time?
That'd be just great. We have the time.
This one's really new. Meaning I might forget the words. Or
that's okay.
Anything else is associated with the song, including what my name is. But we'll give it a shot.
I remember when we left that bar. I remember when we said goodnight. I remember how we stumbled to the street, and then you cursed yourself for having that last drink. Yeah, you cursed yourself for having that last drink. And the rain came in great big waves, and the rain came, and we just stayed. You've been wondering if we'll ever get started. You've been thinking I'm so hard to know. Well, I know that you wouldn't be here if I wasn't, and I like it that way. Yes, I like it that way. You can make it. You can make it, make it, baby. You can make it, make it to me. You can make it. You can make it, make it, baby. You can make it, make it to me. Remember when they cried disgrace. I remember when they turned away, like an island floating through an angry ocean. We held tight to our vision of the sun. Yeah, we held tight to our vision of the sun. And the rain came in great big waves, and the rain came, we just stayed. You've been wondering if we'll ever get started. You've been thinking I'm so hard to know. Well, I know that you wouldn't be here if I wasn't, and I like it that way. Yes, I like it that way.
Beautiful.
Lindsay Mack, wasn't that something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much, Lindsay.
I like your new four-string guitar.
Yeah, that's something. Lindsay, I want to thank you so much for joining us, giving up your time tonight. I know it. You have your freedom now until tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
It's just great, and I hope you'll let us know whenever you're back here in town.
Absolutely.